Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So we are back this Sunday, and I am so ready to get into this topic. But before we do, as always, I want to welcome back my co-host. Hey, Fatima.
Hi, Dr. Guy. I'm very excited about this topic today. And I'm also ready to own and embrace my unrealistic dating expectations.
Oh, so you just gonna go ahead and put it out there already that it's unrealistic?
Listen.
Okay.
Apparently the people think we all have unrealistic expectations. So if that's the case, I own it.
Well, we don't even know what these expectations are yet, so we're going to get into it in a few seconds. Let's find out what Steve is up to. Hey, Steve.
Hello, everyone. I am excited as well. Always looking forward to trying to prep. So
Steve, it's just a little difficult hearing you.
I'm always looking forward to a chance to try and corral these wild wildebeest and hyenas.
Really, you're going to start off as wildebeest already? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what? We got guests today. We got company. So, you know, you're going to have to tame it because we got company. Now, with that being said, we are going to go ahead and introduce our guest today so that we can get right into this topic. Today, the question is, are people having unrealistic dating expectations? So we have a panel full of people today, and we're just going to talk about it. We're going to find out, what are their dating expectations? Do people find them to be unrealistic? So my first guest today is Jasmine Van, and she is a lover of God and people and has a heart to encourage and serve. Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, Dr. Guy. How are you?
I'm good. Are you ready to talk about this topic?
Sure, I am, definitely, and I'm curious to hear commentary as well.
All right, okay. Up next, we have Allison. Allison is ready to unpack this topic with us. Hey, Allison.
Hola, how are you?
I am doing good. In fact, I am excited because I like talking about this stuff. All righty. And Mr. Montgomery, you are back.
Yes, I'm back in effect. Thank you and welcome, family, for allowing me to come in and sit at the table. I'm ready to talk.
All righty. So we have another panel, a gentleman who's going to be joining us hopefully a little bit later, but we're going to go ahead and start unpacking this. So I guess I'm going to start off with the ladies first. And Jasmine, I'll start off with you. We're asking the question,
okay,
do people have unrealistic dating expectations? So as a woman, what would you say are some of your dating expectations?
For me, to sum it all up, I would say my dating expectations would be that the person and I are equally yoked. And I mean that to say on the same page, we're thinking about how we view life and the future. Because I think if we can connect at that point, then we can have the discussion to see if we're actually a match or not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So equally yoked on the same page, if you have common goals, and if you're potentially maybe working towards those common goals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Allison, let's go to you. What are your dating, would you say your dating expectations are?
They are pretty much like the same as Jasmine's, you know, common goals, what your future, what you're working towards, what you believe in, stuff like that.
Okay. All right. So kind of similar to Jasmine, some common goals.
Yeah.
Or expectation that you have. Okay. So before I go to you, Mr. Montgomery, we have two more people that I haven't introduced. Kirk just called in. I'm going to bring him on the air. But we have another therapist, and she's back, and you guys know her. So let me get Kirk on, and then I am going to bring you in. Miss Chrissy.
Hello.
Hey.
Everyone's having one doing.
Hey, how's everybody?
We're good. Hello. Kirk, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear everybody. Can you guys hear me?
All right. So, yeah, Kirk, we can hear you. In 1 second, Kirk, I'm going to allow you to get your thoughts together. I'm going to come back to you and just tell us in general, what would you say your dating expectations are?
Okay.
All right. So, back to Miss Chrissy Brown. She's back with us again. Miss licensed professional counselor. She, you know, she always brings it. So welcome back.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited about this topic. So let's get to it.
All right. So, Chrissy, I know you can tell me, what are some dating expectations people have? What do you have?
I mean, for me, I had to really kind of go back a while back and kind of review my expectations. To just be honest, sometimes as people, we'll have expectations for other people that we don't have for ourselves. And so I can't expect this man to do all this stuff and bring all this stuff to the table if I'm lacking and if I'm not bringing it. So for me, I think I'm looking for honesty, loyalty, commitment. And another big one for me is communication. We have to know how to communicate with one another. And granted, we learn that over time by dating, but if the communication is off, for me, it's just not going to work, period.
You know what? I'm about to go on over to Mr. Montgomery, but one of the things that you said, I just want to repeat that people seem to want something in someone else that they don't possess themselves. Okay. I'm going to come back to that one because I think that needs to sit with a lot of our listeners. I'm going to come back to it. Mr. Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
What are your dating expectations?
You know what? Dating expectations evolve over the years. I think at 45, I think they're a lot different than when I was in my 20s and 30s. And so now I'm at 45, and now as far as looking at dating, it looks a little bit different. I would definitely have to go with the submissiveness. I'm going to start off with that one. Submissive, woman looking to make me happy and please me. I think those are going to be my three. And as, you know, we go through the show, and, you know, elaborate. But I think I'm going to stay with those three thinking points. Yeah, I heard the old wilds already, but I would say this, Dr. Guy. I mean, I think Jenny May kind of set the stage for my, you know, not saying I'm just piggybacking off her, but I think she kind of set the stage, whereas guys, I said, yeah, she gets it. You know what I'm saying? So
So you just gonna jump right on in there, like 9 minutes into the show, and you just gonna jump right on into her? Like you ain't even let us warm up yet. Like we just discussing the tip, and 9 minutes in, you gonna jump into Jenny Mae? Okay.
Well,
okay.
It's just because I said submissive. Well, hold up. The reason why, because I said submissive, because I heard a few women chuckle, and I was just using her an example. I'm quite sure a lot of people are probably familiar with her statement coming out this week. So I was just saying, like, yeah, she gets it.
But wait, Mr. Montgomery, don't assume that everyone has heard her statement. So since you brought it up, and Kirk, I'm coming to you. I am. But Mr. Montgomery, since you brought it up, go ahead and unpack that for our listeners.
Okay. Yes. Everybody know Jenny Mae from the talk. I was reading a little bit about her. She owns her own business. She's a CEO, but when she comes home to her men, she wants to be submissive. She doesn't want to be the boss all day running business, being on the show. She wants a man that she come home and be submissive to. And, you know, of course, if we're all, you know, I'm not knowing what everybody's religion is, but if, you know, like myself, a Christian, the Bible said women be submissive to your husband, and it also said as your man should be submissive to God. So submissive is not a bad thing, and when I say the word submissive, I'm not saying a woman be a doormat and get bossed around, but I'm saying submissiveness and pleasing to the God. So you don't want to be in a relationship where there's going to be confrontation and your woman arguing, but she respects you as a man and as her man. You see what I'm saying? So submissiveness is not a bad thing, and at my age, at 45, I would definitely want a woman that I could work with and she value me as her man and not just for equals and she can, you know, just feel like I'm just contributing to the bills. It's like, this is my man. I respect my man.
Okay. Well, thank you for starting us off with that. And I'm going to go ahead and go to Kirk, and then I'm going to let the rest of the panel go ahead and jump in on what you just said. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, everybody. Okay.
What you got for
Dave?
I'm going to kind of.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we were talking about expectations, and it's only fair that before you place expectations on someone else, you need to make your expectations visible. Make sure they're known. And, you know, whenever you talk to somebody, you got to make sure you're communicating in a way that they understand what you're saying, okay? So I'm not disagreeing with the word submissive. I just think that dating, submissive is a little bit too much to expect from them when I'm just dating, when we just meet.
Mm-hmm.
When I just meet someone, I'm not looking for submissive. I'm looking for honesty. The most important thing to me is that they be real with me, that they be honest. I was married for 17 years, and I got divorced late after raising kids up and everything, and it was kind of wasn't an expected divorce. So I counsel people who went through rough divorces. And what I learned from that marriage was you can't run another person. And, you know, before you can go out there and commit to someone else, you got to first commit to God. So you got to be willing to you know, get in line first before you tell somebody to get in line with you. So I can't date somebody and expect them to come to me relationship ready. I need to know who they are before I make any decision. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So submissiveness is not something that you have an expectation that they start off with, but it sounds like it's something that potentially that might grow into.
I think submission is inevitable if someone wants to be with you. You don't have to make someone. I don't want someone to come to me willing to submit. I want them to see something in me that would make them want to submit. Because I'd have to submit to them before they submit to me. Do y'all remember when you were young and somebody liked you and you didn't want to tell them you liked them until they told you that they liked you? You didn't want to say it? You wanted to make sure that it was mutual before you put yourself out there?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. You don't want to come in too thirsty, and you don't want somebody who's too thirsty coming in. You want somebody who's open-minded, you know, level playing field. That's what I look for.
All right. All right. Thank you, Kirk.
Everything about what you said, Kirk, you hit it out the park. I think one of the reasons, like the word submissive or submission in and of itself is not problematic, is that so many men are running around saying this is the expectation they have and will reference the Bible, but that edict is given to wives. And if I am not a wife, I think that is a very unrealistic expectation to have someone that you are dating and getting to know, especially if you're casually dating. So, you know, if you are looking for submission, and we talk about Jeannie Mai, it's my understanding that they are engaged at this point, so they're moving toward marriage. So obviously that relationship is going to look a little different. So perhaps if there were more men willing to lead in that sort of way, where you decide this is the woman that I want to be with, and I'm going to prove that by making her my wife, then I think you would see more women naturally move into that submissive position that Kirk was just talking about. That is something that happens naturally. If I choose you above all others, I'm naturally going to want to submit and display submission in the relationship. And I think that that is a reciprocal process.
Well, Dr. Guy, can I elaborate? Because I think it's getting attacked on different angles more than what I was wanting. Can I speak on that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, okay, so when we said submissiveness, I mean, of course, you know what I'm saying, you know, you get married, that's what you want. But here's my thing, at 45, I mean, I don't know what everybody's ages are. But here's the thing, if I'm Dr. Guy's my friend, so I'm going to use her as an example. If I mean Dr. Guy and we just met, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what, I'm saying, you know, I'm dating, but I'm looking for a woman, hear me out, and I say, I'm looking for a woman. I say, I'm trying to get married tomorrow, I'm looking for a woman that can be submissive, a woman that's looking to make me happy, a woman that can please me. If a woman, like, you got me messed up, I ain't doing submissive. Okay, well, you know what? I don't think we're on the same page. Here's the thing, guys. I don't want to waste my time trying to get to know Dr. Guy any further because she's saying she's not that type and submissive is something she feels comfortable with. Whereas you can meet another woman like that doing that. Okay, well, we can, you know, they can continue to get to know each other, but you're not turning down that you could be that woman. But if I say the word submissive and you're just like, you got me messed up, I'm the wrong chick, why do I still want to pursue you? Why do I still want to date you? I'm wasting my time. So
I raised my hand. Sure, I'm going to raise my
hand. Me too. I'm raising my hand too.
Well, since I can't see nobody's hands going up in the air, somebody said they had a question first.
I heard Jasmine.
We just Zoom
said
Jasmine.
Right.
Yes. Jasmine's raising her hand. Okay, so this is my question. So I totally understand Kirk, like, communicating and, like, letting things being stated up front. However, those are some very strong descriptors to use or ask of someone that you have just met. And so, yes, you can have the framework of knowing what you want, and that person can have the framework too. But that can be, I'm just going to say, it sounds very one-sided and even, like, demanding. Like, you don't know me, I don't know you, but you're telling me you're looking for a woman who is submissive, is going to please you, and I can't remember the third one. So I'm not attacking you when I'm saying this, but what I'm saying is, that's a lot to ask of a person, like, up front. And I think what's happening in the dating world is we've really blurred the line from being committed and not being committed, from dating to marriage. So, like, people are doing all of these things while they're dating, and it's not moving people towards marriage, because we've heard that saying before, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? So if somebody's doing all of these things, right, like, well, and I've had my male friends say this to me, what's the point of me marrying her if she's doing it for me already? I've had male friends say to me before, well, I have different women who do different things for me, so there's no need for me to get married, right? And so with that, with the whole blurring of things coming together like that and people looking at other people's marriages or other people's dynamics and saying that's what they're trying to mimic or, like, reinforce, they have to come together and decide what it's going to be and look like for them. And so if a man walked up to me and said that to me and I just met you, no, I don't want to talk to you, because am I going to be that to my husband, the person that God has set aside for me? Absolutely. But if I'm getting to know you in the space of to even see where we're going to get to that point, I'm not going to give you the answer that you want, because first of all, I don't have to accept that from you if I have my own standards as well, too, because I'm not going to come to you and ask you, are you going to be a husband who leads the household? Are you going to be a husband who prays for me and covers our children in prayer? Like, I'm not going to start off the gate with that. And so I think that if we want different results, we may have to consider different, like, lingo, because I agree with what Dr. Guy said. Jenny Mind's about to get married to Jeezy. So that her language, that totally makes sense. But, like, people who are dating, like Fatima said, casually, no, don't ask me about submitting to you, because that's just not going to happen. All right. Thank you for letting me kind of share that, y'all.
Oh,
thank you,
Jay. Oh, this is going to be so good today. Oh, man, this is going to be so good. Everybody want to talk about it. I want to answer. I want to answer her question, but I'm going to let the next person talk. But I want to get back there.
Mr. Montgomery, I asked you, we were 9 minutes into the show, and I said you want to open up with this. And you said yes, 9 minutes into the show. You unpacked this, so now we got to sit in it. So Kirk has something to say. I think it was right before Jasmine. So I'm going to let Kirk get in there, and then I'm coming back to you, Mr. Montgomery.
Okay. You might have to write
first
names down
all,
on this one, Dr. Guy.
Right. Mr. Montgomery,
I'm going to defend Mr. Montgomery for this reason. Now, don't take these words the wrong way, but you got to remember, when we're talking, since this is an audio meeting, words are so important. That's the reason you kind of caught a little flack on that word. You know, when you're talking face to face, people can look at your gestures and your expressions, and they may not take the word as seriously. But a word like submission is such a serious word. As a matter of fact, I think that word is directly reflected on faith. You know, that's a faith word, submission, and it's an action word. But we're talking about dating. At least that was my understanding. So we're talking about dating. The woman that says, I ain't going to submit her, I want her to say that because I want to know who she is now. I want to know who she is today, not who she was. So I was married 17 years. It's not important who I was 20 years ago. It's important who I am now. It's important who she is today. Sunday, who are you today? If you say, I'm not going to submit today, I like that because that means this won't be easy. You're not just going to come in and tell me what I want to hear so that you can get me to buy you a ring and try to be your cure, okay? I don't want to be your cure. I want it to come naturally. I believe in natural, holistic healing. And in relationships, people are damaged, and they want someone to fix them. But I want it to be natural. I don't want you to fix me with some kind of a prescription where people just play a role. If you want somebody to spend the rest of your life with, you have to let that happen naturally. You can't just go out and find somebody who looks good because, you know, they'll change on you in a minute, okay? They'll look different.
Yeah.
I remember somebody in 2017, back when I was coaching Little League, looked wonderful. Saw it 3 years later, he looked like somebody else, okay? You can't go off of how they look. You got to find out who they are, and the only way you find out who somebody is by spending time with them, getting to know them. So dating to me is not like a, you know, go out. I'm not looking for a wife when I meet somebody. I'm looking first for a friend, and I'm hoping that friend becomes so, the word valuable to me and to each other, that we want to stay together, that we choose to be together. We got to stop looking for marriage, and we got to start looking for the best relationship we can possibly have with somebody. And I think that's what's holding us back, because everybody's trying to do the fast track, like a job, like this is a job, and I found you on LinkedIn, and I need you to sign up with push the button and submit your resume. And, you know, that's not how you find a mate. You find a mate, it takes time. That's all.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Montgomery.
All right. Going back to the young lady, and, okay, so Dr. Guy, they don't know me. So this is what I would do. Of course, I wouldn't say, Fatima, I'm going to submit this. You're letting next. No. Hey, you read that Jenny May article? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what do you think about her role saying she don't mind being submissive to her man? You know what I'm saying? I like the feel, you know what I'm saying? I like the women, man. This is how you think it. And so that's what I mean. Like, some things can be talking points, and you can also get a person feel and a view based on how they like. So, for instance, like, hey, Steve, what do you think about Jenny May, you know, being submissive? Jeez, I think I'm feeling that. I think I like that. What do you think? And she came in with the, like, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to see, it's just dialogue. We're trying to get to know each other. But if submission is something I think is important down the road, I can find up front how she feel about it. So she's like, No, that's not something I'm into. I'm, then she give her rationale about what she want from her man or whatever. Then I'd be like, okay, all right, cool. I see that she's not going to be that kind. So when you're dating, I get dating. I've done it. But here's the thing. At 45, you know what I'm saying, do I really want to waste a lot of time with somebody that's not on the same level? Do I want to waste my time? Because when you meet women, what do y'all women do? Y'all say, I want to date a guy that I can see myself going to the next level with. I don't want to date to waste my time. So now we're getting to the point you can weed people out. If a person already said they don't have these characteristics, I'm wasting my time trying to find out. I don't want to make a person into what I want them. I want them to be who they are, and that's just something that that appeals to me. So if a woman just says, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian lady. You know, I go to church. Submissiveness is something that, you know, that if I plan to get married, that I don't have a problem going with my husband. Okay, not saying she's the right woman, but I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. She kind of sees things the way I'm seeing it. That's what I mean. So I don't want, again, submissiveness always take a back seat. People came out and attacked Fantasia when she was on Instagram Live and said, I'm submissive to my husband. And all black women attacked Fantasia, like, are you crazy? She's like, no, I'm not crazy. And her husband was like, you submissive, right, baby? And she's like, yeah, I'm submissive to my husband. And everybody attacked Fantasia. I'm like, why are y'all attacking her? She's happily married. He's doing his role. So, again, dating, again, I would just use it as a talking piece if that's something I feel like that's what I would want in a woman. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to take the whole conversation to talk about submission because I know I want to hear from the women when their expectations are. But, yeah, I did unpack it, but I did just want to make sure I'm clear with it versus saying, all right, Dr. Guy, I met you, and you got to feel submissive woman if you want to be with her. I think that was a little too much.
Kirk, go ahead.
I think that's okay because that's his truth. I respect his truth. His truth, I'm not disagreeing when he says that's what he wanted to unpack. That would be honest for him to make known that submission is important to him at this stage in the game. I think that it's important that everybody be honest, regardless of what you tell them, whether it's good or bad, because people talk is cheap. People will tell you anything. Like I said, I was married 17 years, and I didn't get married on somebody on a projection. That person told me they were going to do certain things and was going to do it, and they maybe didn't. Nor did I do everything that I thought I would do. So I'd rather watch what you do. That's why you got to spend some time. Because they'll tell you anything on Monday, but give them about 10 weeks to see what they are. You know?
You guys, I posed this question on Facebook, and so I got some responses back, and so I want to know what your thoughts are. And so the question was what we're discussing, are people dating expectations unrealistic? And so one response was women just need to continue to focus on the degrees, business, and houses and their money. Men don't care about any of that. So to the ladies on the panel today, do you guys feel that an expectation that women have is that what's important are degrees, business, houses, and money when you're dating?
I'm going to jump out here first, Dr. Guy. This is Fatima. I think that for many women, those things are important. What's really underneath that, though, is that a lot of women have an expectation that a man is going to be a provider. So in the same way that submission is a sexy word for men, provider is sexy for women. And so for women, those things tend to be things that we view as, okay, these are things that this person potentially can be a provider. As far as it being an unrealistic expectation, here's what I feel about that. I think that expectations are only unrealistic to people who are incapable or unwilling to meet them. There's nothing unrealistic about saying I desire a mate with a certain level of education or who has a house or has their own car. There's nothing unrealistic about that.
And in the same way, I think that was Mr. Montgomery who said, you know, there's nothing wrong with Kirk saying he wants a woman who is going to be submissive. You know, at its core, there's nothing wrong with that. It's only problematic when you come across people who say, you know, in the case of Kirk, women who say, no, I'm not interested in being submissive. So it's not that his expectation is unrealistic. It's just that this woman is unwilling or incapable to meet that desire. So for women who say, these are things that I desire, those things aren't unrealistic. It's just that they might come across a lot of men who are incapable or unwilling to meet them.
Oh, okay.
Sure,
absolutely. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I think that... You guys, and it deals with submission, and I just want to hear from all the women on this panel about God, even you. Here we go. Jenny May says, I'm the boss of my own business. I'm on the talk, but when I come home, I want to be submissive to my man. My question to women, if you're successful in your career, whether you're supervisor, president on your job, or whatever, can you be submissive to your man? Let's say you make more than him. You got a higher position, a higher title, and you make more money. Can you be submissive to your husband when you come home? We'll start with you, Dr. Guy. And I just, Kurt, this is for the women. I just want to hear the women. I just want to hear them out.
Okay.
So since he just hijacked my previous question, ladies,
no, it's still
I'm going to come back.
Right. I was like, what is happening right now?
Hijacked my question, ladies, I'm going to come back to my question, but I'm going to answer his question because I think he wants to know the response to that. So I don't have an issue with her statement, and this is how I will answer your question. Do I have an issue with the word submission? At 44, I don't. But if you would have asked me that 10 years ago, absolutely. I would have gave you the clap back, but I was in a different place 10 years ago, and what I was doing in my own life personally looked very different. And so at 44, I know what it's like to take care of your household by yourself, and I'm tired. I know what it's like to run a business. I know what it's like to be the boss. I know what it's like to chair a department. I know what it's like to supervise people. I know what it's like to do all those things. 10 years ago, I didn't know what that was like. So today, I can say on the business side, that's great. But when I come home, I don't want to have to make the decisions. I don't want to have to be the boss. I don't want to have to be the head. I'm cool with sitting in the passenger seat. So if you call that submissive, then ride or die, I'm with it. If you call it something else, I'm ride or die with that. I just know at 44, I don't want to have to do it by myself no more. You got that?
Yes, got it.
So you take that
yes,
however
ma'am.
You want to take it.
Yes, ma'am. You're not big on titles. You just roll with it, okay?
That's it.
I love it. You like it, I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I got.
And see, you kind of like what I said earlier. It depends on where you are in your life with age. Like I said, I'm 45, you're 44. I don't know what the other panel's ages are, but you're just in a different space. That's all.
I'm 50. Kirk is 53. 53, grown kids, and this is chapter 3 of my life where meeting people, I was looking for someone single. When I got, I'm in California. I'm a transplant from Texas. And when I got here, I was looking for someone close to my age. Didn't matter if they were older or younger. I just wanted someone within in my generation that understands old school music and Jeep. and I wanted somebody, you know, I wanted somebody who faith was important, but they don't have to be super religious. I just want them to believe in God. That's it. And if they don't, they don't. But it's gonna be hard to. You ain't supposed to match up with somebody where all your views are opposing. You're not. That's a bad look. So whether it be what was the word you used? Submission? You didn't just use it. You saw it in that post. And I think that word can be misinterpreted. I think that you will. I think everybody submits to who they want to submit to when that when the time is right, when mm-hmm. they feel that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's and it's a
I agree
positive
with that.
Thing. It's no different than slave and servant. Okay, I'm not a slave, but I'll serve you. You feel me? And that serving and slavery, slavery is forced where a servant is doing it willingly. Okay, so I don't mind doing something for somebody that appreciates what I'm doing and I know that I'm not wasting my time. And I, you know, and it's mutual. But as far as don't nobody want to serve nobody who is one sided. They want everything for themselves. That never sees your side. And if you live to be, if I'm 53, okay, after 50. When y'all hit 50, you ain't got a lot of the things you even say today might change. Okay? You're not going to be here for mm-hmm. it. You're not going to you don't have to be patient for it anymore. I've already fulfilled my duties to this world. I don't have to do anything. The rest of this is a ride. It's fun. Okay? And it should be easy. It shouldn't be stressful. You shouldn't be arguing. You shouldn't be with somebody who goes through your phone at 50. You shouldn't be with someone who follows you around at 50. If you that all of that should be exhausted by the time you reach 50. Now I'm not saying everybody is, but it should be at this point, mature.
Well,
so,
let me
I think that has a lot.
Pretty quiet, sitting back in the cut. So I got a couple things real quick I want to jump out off the porch with. First of all, I would like to address what Fatima said relative towards certain lifestyles. That is something that is unrealistic when we look at the amount of people that can afford women a certain lifestyle. There are not enough men to do that. So that is primarily why that would be unrealistic, whereas your attitude is something that you can easily adjust. Now, I think when we start talking about submission, what we really are talking about in the initial stages is a woman being feminine and cooperative. Now, we can't really expect a woman to do all the things she would do when she's the wife, as the young lady said, regarding getting the cow and the milk for free, but obviously she's not a farmer because any farmer that's got a cow that don't give no milk takes it to slaughter. So you're going to have to give up some milk to get in the game. So once you realize how you need to position yourself for what you have your assets aligned up for, how to market yourself, then that's when you stop being unrealistic and being truly realistic about what you can attract and attain. Men are generally not unrealistic because they know, hey, I have to earn a certain amount of income to be able to afford the woman that I want, and we already know that. Whereas women are a little bit more, girl, you entitled to it. You know, I call it the empowerment movement, but the feminist. And if they're feminist, I got to be a masculinist. You know, so I'm behind you, David. Like, you want to jump off the porch and tell them they got be submissive from day one, and that's what they got to do.
Yeah. Okay, so can we get back to the original question, right. Dr. Guy
right.
posed
right.
to the women?
Exactly. Thank you, Fatima. Thank you, Fatima. I appreciate you.
I do
want
to go
like,
back to the original
thanks.
Question because I think that speaks to the expectation that either women or men have. So I am going to come back to it. So thank you, Fatima. And I hope, Mr. Montgomery, I did answer your question. But we do have a caller. So I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick, and then Fatima will come back to that question. Caller at 646, you are on the air.
Hi, great discussion.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Because the conversation got a little diverted, what was the question, the original question?
Are people dating expectations unrealistic?
I don't think so. I mean, some people have unrealistic expectations because
mm-hmm.
they don't understand that the marketplace sets the price.
Oh, okay. So give me an example.
The marketplace sets the price. So you have if you have a product or a service that you're going to put in the marketplace, you have to price it accordingly so that it will sell. If people don't like
mm-hmm.
your product or it's priced too high, they won't buy it. So you're going to have to adjust something. You're going to have to change something in order to meet the marketplace. The marketplace sets the price. So if I want to go out and I want to wear my pants sagging at my age, and the women my age that I want don't accept men who wear their pants sagging, then either I have to just give up what I want as far as a woman, or I have to adjust and pull my pants up and tighten my belt because the marketplace has set the price.
Mm-hmm.
So women men and women have to understand whether it's, you know, certain looks, whether it's hair, you know. I think a lot of men, and I always have, because I grew up in New York, there were always women that wore natural hair. I mean, whether it's hair, whether it's weight, whatever it is for men or women, the marketplace sets the price. So it's up to us to make ourselves, depending on what we want. So if a woman wants a man who can take care of her, then she has to meet the marketplace demand, right? And the demand says that she has got to maybe look a certain way or dress a certain way, and she has to weigh that against, you know, what she wants. So if she doesn't want to do it, then she has to change her expectations. Right? Same with men. I have to change my expectations if I'm not willing to do certain things. I'll put myself in the dating marketplace. If I want to get a certain woman, I have to make myself appealing to that woman. Right? So
we talked about this on a show a while back, marketplace value for relationships, and what is your marketplace value? And so I think that's what I'm hearing you say, that you have to know what it is. So, for example, if you're a 5, but you're saying you only want to date the 10s, you're not
right.
in the right market value. So
right. Absolutely, yeah. Unless you're going to do something to put you up there. Now, there's one thing I can mm-hmm. say just based on personal experience. I think one of the things that men always, you know, usually have to have when they get in a date is usually a personality, right? Unless you have excessive money or have a, you know, a really, really, you know, turn heads with your looks, you have to develop a personality. And I think a lot of times, especially when women, when they're young, that they don't really have to develop. That's not something that women necessarily have to develop. We have to be charming. We got to be funny. Got to make you laugh. We got to be, you know, this kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I don't see is I don't see a lot of that. I've run across some, and I was drawn to them because of their personality, right? They were still feminine, but they're at the same time, they're funny, you know, make me laugh. You know, you just feel good being around them. And I think that's one of the things that women could develop, because that puts you ahead of others, right? If you're in the marketplace, mm-hmm. just your personality, how people feel when they're around you, right? Like if you have a nasty disposition or you have a negative spirit about you, I mean, it's going to be harder. You know, if you're disagreeable, argumentative, all that stuff, it's just going to be harder.
I think someone asked, where are you calling from? Are you from New York?
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Oh,
okay.
Toronto, Canada.
Okay. That makes a difference, because I'm originally from Texas, Dallas, Texas, okay? And when I relocated to Los Angeles, California, I saw a culture shift, okay? Here, it's way more competitive. You were talking as though these people were, I know you're talking in an analogy, you're just making an analogy, but when you talk about people as though they're a product, it kind of dehumanizes the importance of who you're talking to, and I saw that here. They had more of a – they treat you more like what you said, like a marketable commodity than someone
mm-hmm.
that you're trying to make a friendship with. And that's what I had to adjust to, because if you were married for 17 years and then you get single, you don't know what the hell to do. You don't know what – you know, you still got this personality and everything. You got your finances together, but – you got to start dating again. It's all right, because I had to change my thinking from a married man to be a single man, okay? So in personality, I meet a lot of women with hella personality out here. You know, they just and the only thing that I saw different, they kept telling me I'm different. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing different here versus the guys that are here. And this is what they mainly, Southern men are, you're in Toronto, see, I can't say if you're polite, you know? I can't judge you like that, but I'm polite. I open doors and, you know, and I pick up the check and I do things like that because that's the way I was raised. And they say that's odd. They're not used to that here. They're used to men kind of like going Dutch on everything. and the men here act like they are the prize and the women are lucky to get them. So it may be different where you're from. That's the way they act here. They think the women like...
Shut your mouth, Kurt.
Well, a lot of that is because of the reason that you're in and the amount of men and women. So say, for instance, in China, where there are fewer women men, you find Chinese men on the African women. So there are a lot of different factors to fit into responding in these situations and scenarios.
Exactly.
Steve, it's a little hard to hear you with your connection.
Yeah, it's the marketplace. So your marketplace changed a bit. When you move from Texas to California, the marketplace is different. And I didn't mean to, by using that analogy, I didn't mean to dehumanize anyone, but I just wanted to make clear that we don't set, when you go into a marketplace, it's not you that sets the value. It's the people that you're trying to attract. They somehow, they have a hand in setting the value. What, you know, that's just the way it is.
But I'm glad you,
I agree with
you. I'm glad you said that.
It was perfect. Your analogy is perfect. I didn't mean to, I don't want people to feel like when I say something like that, I'm attacking their perspective. I'm saying, in contrary to that, we got to remember, because that's an analogy, a correct analogy. Wherever you go, you got to look at the demographics of where you are and what people are looking for and what they're used to. There's 7 million people here. There's 2.5 million in Dallas-Fort Worth. Okay? See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be different. I agree with you 100%. I just want to keep that. I always have to bring it back to real people in real situations. And everybody's different. Every situation is different. Everything is custom. We can't, well, there is no cookie cutter solution to relationships and dating. The only thing I find that's consistent is honesty. If you're not honest, I can't believe nothing you say once you lie. How about that? Once you lie, I don't believe nothing you say. You can tell me it's raining outside, but I wouldn't get my umbrella.
Well, I think one of the things that's different is that men need to stay on their grind, and they need to stay on their purpose, whatever that is. And I think, you know, for me, as long as I do that, I work out probably 4 or 5 days a week. You know, I have certain things that I'm on. As long as I make myself available while I'm on my grind, meaning I'm out and about, which is kind of difficult these days, but you're out and about and you can be seen, and you're mixing and mingling, then I've got no problem. You know, then it becomes easier to attract. I mean, I was told that a long time ago, so that's what I've, you know, that's what I kind of, that's how I kind of get into the marketplace. I'm sorry, someone else was about to say something.
I was about to say, going back to the analogy that you made, I think that it's an accurate one, and I think more people, specifically more women, need to hear that analogy to understand what we're dealing with in the market today. So I do thank you for putting it out there. And there's a listener that posted and said that it's not just in California. There is, and this is from a male. He says, there is this new culture of men, and it's all over. These men don't believe in picking up the check. These men believe that they are the prize and the women need to cater to them. That's not just in California. Yep. So,
that's true.
That was from a male. So, with that being said, and Carla, what is your name? Because I'm sorry, I keep calling you Carla.
Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay, so Patrick, you don't have to go. You can stay because I'm liking you with our conversation right now. I do want to go back to the question that I posed to the ladies about the poll that we put on Facebook, and the response was that women just need to continue to focus on what they focus on, which is their money, their business, and their homes. So I want to know, how do the women feel about this? And I want to go to Christy first, because Christy is a powerhouse. Christy has a business. Christy has multiple businesses. Christy has multiple degrees. Like, she's that woman that he's describing. So if he's saying that that's what the woman values, are those the expectations, Christy, that you have for the person that you now are looking to date?
Can you all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for me, I'm not necessarily caught up in he has to have 3 degrees for, because that's what I chose to do. He may have one, he may not have either. It's about what I'm willing to accept from him and vice versa. So I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think sometimes they put us in a box like, oh, just focus on the degrees, on your money, on your home. And it's more to me than just how much money I make, how many degrees I have, the car I drive, and the house I stay in. Don't limit me in that way, because I'm not limiting you in that way. And so for me, it's kind of like he does not have to have a degree. Now, he has to have a job, whether he's an entrepreneur or whatever. He can't not have a job. I mean, that's not going to work. But what I'm saying is, if he can be an entrepreneur, that's fine. He may not have went to school. I'm cool with that. But as long as our goals line up, as long as we stick up, we're yoked, that's what I'm looking at. I feel like when you say, oh, she should focus on her home, her degrees, you're limiting me and my mindset, and that's just not how I see it. Going back to the other question about submitting, I'm 35. I don't mind submitting. I'm 35. I don't have a problem with submission. I can't think of the gentleman's name who talked about it, looking at it as service. I don't see anything wrong with submitting, and I'm only 35. Kirk, I don't see anything wrong with that. I have found myself in instances meeting guys where it's kind of like, I want you to do all these things for me, but then you're not doing, it's not being reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned about me this year is how important reciprocation is for me. And get this, how I give it out may not be how I get it, but I'm looking at the effort that you put into it. And I can tell if you haven't put any effort or thought into anything that you're doing. You know, so that's just me. I probably got a little bit off of topic on tangent, but that's just me.
Thank you for answering that, because I think Mr. Montgomery, he posed that question to all of us.
Yeah,
Mr. Montgomery?
It's all coming back full circle, and most of the women are beginning to agree with the submission thing. The topic was, you know, realistic versus unrealistic. I mean, I think it's first of all, it's an opinion, but I think it can be realistic if you're that type of woman. If you're not that type of woman, then it becomes unrealistic. So Christy basically kind of going with the Jenny Mae. She got a lot going on for herself, but she says she's willing to look for that man to where she could possibly see herself being submissive as long as it's reciprocated.
But I don't think anyone said that it was unrealistic
right.
on the panel, though.
Exactly.
Like, no one said it was unrealistic. People just said it's unrealistic when you're dating.
Yeah, that's so many people talking at one time.
Right.
So what
is that Jasmine?
Right.
Is that Jasmine?
That's Jasmine, yes. Because I'd like to clarify.
Go ahead.
I was engaged to be married, and my fiancé and I had a conversation. He asked me if, you know, well, the mere fact that he proposed to me, he knew what kind of woman that I was, right? A woman, a value, a virtuous woman, all of that. And so we were just having that conversation one day, and he asked, he said, well, Jasmine, are you going to be submissive? I was like, absolutely, but the qualifier is, are you going to be submitting to God? Because I'm not going to be submitting to you, and you're not aligned with God and, like, following him and seeking him and what he's, you know, expecting of you to do as a husband. Because it's unrealistic to have an expectation. We said this already. To have an expectation of me that you yourself are not governed by. Because if I've been living my life as a single woman, honoring God and following his plan and purpose for my life, I'm not going to get married to you and you are haphazardly not following God's law, not following his purpose and plan for your life. Like, that's crazy. Because if my life has been peaceful, aligned to purpose and all of that prior to you, I'm not going to get married to you, and it becomes a dynamic of where it's in disarray, which is why, I call the wedding off. And so, again, but at the point that he and I were dating, he wasn't asking me questions. Well, first of all, we've known each other for so long, so he picked up characteristics about me. But when we shifted to the dynamic of dating to, you know, consider we were going to be married, that was like a byproduct of him observing me and interacting with me. But he didn't come out of the gate, like, asking me that. And other people I dated before haven't either, because I think when you listen in conversation to someone, like, you pick up things about them that you follow up and ask them questions. And so I mean, the word attack has been used. I was not attacking. I was offering another perspective, because if we were talking about dating, then submission is not a question. What I'm saying is submission is not an expectation that you ask of me and we're dating, right? Submission is a byproduct that comes, we've mentioned that earlier, from our moving to shifting gears, and because we're being serious and committed to each other and moving into marriage, right? And then even there was a comment made about if a farmer has a cow and it's not making milk, you know, he's going to take it to the slaughterhouse. Well, I still connect it back to this point. They're not, because I tell my students this, if you offer everything to a young man, I'm talking to my girls I mentor, all up front, right? You give it all to him. What does he have to look forward to, right? Because he can get what you're, if you're offering only your body, he can get that from anyone, right? So yeah. What makes you different, right? What makes you different? What makes him say, you know what? This is a woman that I desire to connect with, so I'm going to make sure I'm aligned as I'm supposed to be, right? So I can, in a sense, even gain access to her, because I think I totally agree with the caller, Patrick, that it shifted, and I think maybe with Mr. Kirk, we've shifted to where a lot of men think that it's about them, and they don't understand their role in pursuing the woman. I tell my students, even animals have standards when they are pursuing who they're going to, like, mate with, right? The eagle, she gets a branch that's the size of an eaglet. She drops it to see if that male eagle can catch it, right? Then she gets a branch the size of her weight to see if he can catch it. And if an eagle has a standard, right, before it mates with another eagle, well, then we as humans have to have the same thing too. And so it shouldn't be a thing of even there's the ratio to women to men is different, right? It doesn't mean that women should just say, okay, well, because he expressed interest in me, I have to talk to him, or because he expressed interest in me, then I have to go with it. No, we can have our own standards too. Now, with the compliment, sure, that you may want to pursue me, but I don't have to accept your pursuit. And please don't be offended that I don't have to, you know, that I say no, thank you, because I've experienced it before where men like go off on you or want to call you aside your name because you say no, thank you, I'm not interested. But don't I have a right to say no, thank you? I do. And so that means you can be in your space and keep it moving, and I'll be in my space and keep it moving. And then at some point, when it's designed by time and by God, I believe you'll connect with who you're supposed to connect with. And so I don't feel like I'm missing something because, you know, a man has said to me, well, you know, you're not this or you're not that, so I don't want to talk to you. Well, that's fine, because the thing is like I'm not sitting waiting and or desperate, right, waiting for someone to, like, choose me, because I think that happens a lot in this dynamic where people are like, they want to be chose, so we're doing all of these things and not really understanding who we are as individuals and developing as individuals to be the best person of who we are. So when we connect with that person, we can grow together and, like, move forward together. And so, and well, yeah, I think that's very key and important to understand. Definitely. Definitely.
Can I respond? Well, since the man that, has to ask for your hand in marriage, the man's up to.
Do what?
Since the man has to ask for your hand in marriage, the man does choose.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Because I had to say yes. If I didn't say yes, we would not have been planning a wedding. So he pursued me, and I accepted that pursuit, right? But then you proposed to me because the question is, will you marry me? And so I can say yes or I can say no. So if I say yes, then I'm choosing. But if I say no, then we're not getting married, right?
Absolutely, but it starts with the man. The man has to ask first. So, yes, you have to say yes. You're absolutely correct. But it's up to the man to choose who he wants to ask to marry him. It's up to him. It's typically not the woman who asks. You know, there's a lot of women who date for many, many years but wants to get married, but they're waiting for the man to ask, right? Because he has
the one to start the
process.
Women
control access to sex. Men control access to relationships. So I'm not knocking you for what your stance is, but if I'm going to buy a house, the realtors can't take me to the house and tell me I can't go inside and inspect it. I need to know if they got termites, does the water work. I'm not buying no house without inspecting it first. Now, you might do that, but I'm not. So just how you have your standards, I have my standards as well. And I need a thorough inspection if this is something I'm talking about purchasing forever and ever and ever.
Good point. And I think that's a good point, and that's why I made the point earlier. So when we realize that there's no point of connection, that means you go and you find the person that meets your expectations, and I'm going to find and meet mine, right? So it doesn't make yours wrong or mine wrong. It's that it's not a common point of meeting, which is why I said earlier my expectations are to be equally yoked in talking to someone to see if we're on the same page. Because then if we're not, then blessings to you, blessings to me. We keep it moving. It's no hard feelings, but I think it's not wrong.
Where do you go to meet men? Where do you meet men in church? Which is probably the best place to go if those are your partners.
I don't know about that.
Don't tell women to meet at church. It's not the best place.
No.
Nope. I don't agree with that. I think you meet people in the circles that you run in and the activities that you do. So, like, I like the art world, right? Museums, poetry readings, like live music, things like that. But to say, like, there's a set standard or place to meet someone, I don't think that you can. It's not like a formula for it.
Yeah, it was just a question. I'm just trying to figure out where you're going, because there's a time frame to a lot of, I mean, not to all women, but to some women, especially the younger women, there's a time factor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time factor in all of this, right? So a woman has to move a little differently than a man in the dating arena, because there's a time frame. Mm-hmm. So if the woman is not, does not, you know, doesn't want a family or doesn't want to have children or whatever, then the time may be stressed, you know, can be stressed out some. But there is a time frame if you want a family.
Correct.
If you want to have children,
Patrick,
you want to have a family. So your movement.
So what does that mean?
Than a man.
Patrick.
Okay.
Patrick, you let, that's a segment that we got 30 minutes left, and so I want to go ahead and get into that, because the question that we posed is, do people have unrealistic dating expectations? 30 people posted, 30 people responded and said yes, right? Men and women. So expectations that you have when you're dating someone. Do women have an expectation that the person that they marry will allow them to be able to be a stay-at-home wife? Is that an expectation? And if it is, ladies, men, is that an unrealistic one?
I mean,
it all depends what you're bringing to the table.
What?
It really does.
Ladies, Let me go to ladies. Is it an expectation that when you find the guy that you want to marry and you're still open to having kids, that's part of your plan? Because Patrick is correct, women do have to move a little bit quicker because of that time factor. So you want to have kids, you want to have more than one. Is it an expectation that once you have your kids, you will be able to be a stay-at-home mom? Is that an expectation?
For me, it's not. No, can you hear me?
Yeah. Is this Jessie or Allison?
This is Allison.
Okay, go ahead, Allison.
For me, it's not an expectation. It just depends on the guy. Like, if he has, you know, six figures and we have three or four kids, daycare is very high. I'm a single parent, and it's a struggle. You know, when the world was open, it was ridiculous, the daycare bill. Now, if he's like a six-figure guy and it's smarter to stay home, then, you know, I'll stay home. But it's not – I don't feel like I should have to stay home because I have multiple kids. If it's an option, I'll go ahead and take it, yeah, but I'm not expected, you know, to stay at home. Just what it is smarter.
Or can I add to it?
Was that Kurt?
Yeah. I just want to add
something
to it.
Okay.
Wait.
Go ahead, Kurt, and then I'm going back to the ladies.
Okay. Well, because it's
can
like,
I be up to Kurt? I'm about to go.
Wait. Kurt, before you even start, let me get all of the ladies' responses, and then I'll go to the men. So all of the ladies,
okay,
answer that question for me.
This is Jasmine. Okay.
Jasmine. No, go ahead, Jasmine.
No, go ahead. Was that Christy? Oh, okay. I would like to, when I get married and we have children, I would like to shift and work from home. So I still want to contribute to the household, because I think sometimes there's a negative connotation when, like, you know, but I want to shift and work from home because I believe it's very important to be with children in their formative years. My mother, like when my brother and I were in those years, she was a stay-at-home mom at that time working from home. And so that's what I prefer to do, because I think that helps build a strong family and strong community. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Fatima?
For me, I would like to have the option, but I have no desire of staying home. Like, it's not something that I ever envisioned for myself. But I recently realized, and I talked about this on the last show. So one of the guys that I'm dating is, like, really, I almost feel like it's love. But he keeps saying things to me, like, you know, I don't have to work when we get married, you know, and I'm like, but I want to work. So, but that's my mindset. But I realize as we've continued to talk and spend time together, I do like the idea of not having to if I didn't want to. And it just so happens that he's someone who could afford, if we got married, to have that lifestyle. But for a lot of women that I talk to, that's not necessarily a goal that they have. It's more like having the option is nice, but not necessarily not working at all.
Okay. All right. So, ladies, thank you for responding to the question. Now I'm going to go to men. Kirk, I'm going to go to you first, and then I think Patrick, I heard you saying something too. So, Kirk, go ahead.
Okay.
And Derek, Montgomery.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm sorry. Was that you, Mr. Montgomery, instead of Patrick?
Yeah, that's cool. After Patrick, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was you talking. I thought that was Patrick talking. So it was you instead. Okay,
I'm
I'll
cool.
go to you next.
I'm going to Patrick. Yeah, no, I'm going to Patrick. I'm cool.
Kirk?
Okay. Now that I've heard the women speak, I realize that demographics are a little bit different. If you're talking about younger women and us being younger with experience on my side, I think the best way to do it is for, you know, I think women, there's been a shift in our thinking. The younger generation, females, women, sisters want to work. They do focus on career. They do focus on the bag. They do focus on their health and wellness and how they look. So how could they possibly just be thinking about, you know, relationship? They want a relationship, but you can only give 100% to anything. You know, if you give 100% to your career, you don't have any room for a relationship. If you give 100%
right.
to school, it's hard to focus on work. If you give 100% to your kids, it's hard to work a full-time job and go to school and do all those things. But our black women have done it for so long, that's why their expectations are so much higher. And like Patrick said, a lot of the women have priced themselves out of the market. They might feel like they deserve, you know, six figures, stay at home, but they don't bring anything to the table that would justify six figures, stay at home. And so I think this question is very good, but it's very broad. And because there's so many different people that could be listening, you know, the answers are going to vary. I think that the women on the call make sense. Each one of them describe their own situation. And they as long as you're honest to tell a man who you are and what your goals are, he's going to be able to make a decision if you two are equally yoked. Can you two go forward? So I apologize. I'm thinking like an old man that don't want to have no more kids. I already raised all my kids, so I'm not trying to marry somebody and have kids. I'm trying to find somebody that's trying to go on this cruise with me. You know, I'm trying to find somebody who's going to go to all these concerts and stuff. That we do this, you know, down here, we going to Hollywood Bowl, we doing stuff. So I'm not looking to do that. I'm going to the beach every week. I'm with someone.
Right.
So it's a little different when you get on this side of the ride. So
yep.
I just want to say that because I really love what y'all said, but it's just, I think there's been a reset where people are focused on the wrong things. We don't see each other as partners anymore. We're seeing the guy said a woman should want this. I heard I'm not sure if it was Mr. Montgomery or Patrick, but someone was speaking from a very old school, the way we used to be, where you said the woman should expect this and she wants a man to do this. I find that the working woman does like a man that can lead her. She will be submissive to a man who is a leader in her life, but she will not follow a man that don't follow God. And if she follows a man that don't follow God, guess where she's going? She's going wherever he's going.
Well, I don't even think it's that she won't follow him if he won't follow God. Women won't follow men they don't trust can lead them. And I think men think this because they're men, they can lead, but that's not always the case.
That's not enough to be a leader. Just being a male is not enough to lead someone. You have to establish
True.
That you're trustworthy as a leader, and that's in any way. That's like what we're going through with our government. That's why people didn't want to vote. They didn't have any faith in the people who were saying, let me lead you. You
right,
need to
exactly.
have somebody you can trust, okay?
Exactly. Thank you, Kirk. Mr. Montgomery, I'm sorry. You were next. Go ahead, and then I'm going to go to Patrick.
I think Patrick was next. I was after Patrick.
Patrick, you ready?
I think, no, the ladies were right. It all depends as far as wanting to stay home and not work, especially after childbirth. There are some men that require that because that's the social strata that they're in. I mean, when I was in D.C., that's the social strata I was in. When I got married, there was no working. I wanted my children to be, you know, raised instead of at a daycare or something like that. So that's not something that was in the cards for me. And if I met a woman that said, hey, no, I want to work, and I'm going to go out and work while the children, you know, we send the children to daycare, that wasn't going to work for me. So it depends, you know, women say, well, I want to be able to stay home. You have to make sure that the man is, you know, and that's his thing. Because there are some men today, especially more now today, that want women to work. Even if they're making money, they want women to work. But
that's
I'm
true.
A little bit old school. So I made the money. I took care of everything. Take care of the kids. I did my part. You know, she did her part. You know, made sure there was a nice ride, and every Sunday filled up the ride so she didn't have to get out and pump gas. You know what I mean? You know, picking up, you know, taking the kids places and stuff like that. Like, I had my role, and she had her role, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends. If you don't want to work, and you do want to get a man to take care of those things, then that's a certain level. That's a certain level of man, depending on where you are. If you're in a city like L.A., if you're in a city like, you know, D.C., you know, where it's very expensive to live, those type of men that are going to be able to provide a nice life, upper middle class and up life for a family, they're in a certain strata.
Mm-hmm.
So not all women fit in that strata usually, right? So you have to take that into consideration, too.
Those are high value men that are in those areas.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mr. Montgomery.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. The only thing I would just say is just, you know, communication. And what I mean by that is before you go into having kids, just say, you know, honey, you know, if we have a child, I just want to, you know, stay at home and, you know, be a work, you know, I'll be an at home mom. You know, and making sure that the guy's in a financial position to where, you know, you can have that conversation if she's already currently working and she say, I want to, you know, quit my job and be home with the kids. I think what men don't want is, you know what, I didn't enjoy being off maternity leave. I just don't think I want to go back to work. And it's like, whoa, where did we, you know what I'm saying? So making a, you know, doing something without making a decision, I think, causes issues. But if you had a conversation, the men like, you know what, our finances are in order, you know, we're good. Yes, honey, you can stay at home with the kid. I can afford it. And then I don't see a problem with it, but I just feel like, you know, just make sure y'all on that same page and not one person, you know, having different expectations.
Okay. All right. So far I'm hearing, it sounds like the consensus that there needs to be some discussion beforehand. So last but not least, Reptile, I mean Steve, what's your thoughts?
How many guys on here?
Personally or just in general?
Personally.
Personally, I guess it depends on where I'm at in my life and the woman. But it's definitely something that would be addressed and would be a conversation. I would prefer the way this society is going with COVID. What I think is really revealed to us is we have some different classes. We are going to have the people that need to go to public school, you got the people that need to go to private school, you have the people that are getting caught from home or some online system, or you're going to have the people that are going to have tutors and their parents. And like the gentleman said, there's going to be a certain strata for those individuals that are going to get the personal teachers as well as having their parents or mother with them. That was the system I would prefer. I'm not in a place where I can pull that off at this time, but that would be what my end goal was. Because especially, you know, everybody needs their own little kingdom. the man, generally, that's his work, family, and business is the woman, and that can be her kingdom. And everybody needs their space, and the kids need their space too. So, you know, I definitely would want a woman that I'm involved with to have her space and her kingdom relative towards the family and whatever her personal interests are. But, you know, I'm the alpha. I lead, you follow, and that's how my situation is going to work.
Okay. Ladies, before we wrap up, I do want to ask this question to you all. As we talk about unrealistic expectations, what do you think men have that's unrealistic of women? Like, what is it that men are saying, oh, I need this in my woman, or I need her to have this? What do you think that is? But it might be unrealistic. And is there anything that comes to mind for you guys? And anybody, feel free to respond.
Well, I'll just jump out there.
I think there are certain things physically that generally may not be covered, depending on how comfortable someone is with their partner. There may be some things that the gentleman is into that the lady is not sometimes. But, you know, it can be vice versa. You know, I've heard of both scenarios. So not to say some women are prudish or not adventurous, but some women are prudish and not adventurous. So, you know, that kind of opens up a lane for misbehavior. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when you're in traffic, the whole lane is empty and you're in the car by yourself, you know, you might be tempted to go over there.
I can't stand you.
Okay.
Sakima, were you about to say something?
Making excuses for infidelity. That's fantastic. So I would say one unrealistic expectation that some men have, and this is something that I've seen a lot with my couples, particularly those couples who, you know, both people have to work and bring in an income for the family to function. And there are a lot of men who have an expectation that the woman is still going to be the sole or primary maintainer of house, kids, chores, all of those things. And so he gets to go and work a 40-hour week, and when he crosses the threshold, he's done for the day. But she comes home and she goes to her second job. It's a very unrealistic expectation, and how that usually plays out is that she's exhausted, so she doesn't have time to engage in prioritizing sex because she's exhausted, and then now resentment starts to develop, or if he's trashy, he feels the lane is open, and, you know, and that gives him permission to step out. So I think that's a huge we need to both be working people inside the home and with respect to childcare.
I agree.
I will agree with that, Fatima. I see that in my practice as well with my couples, that seems to be one of the unrealistic expectations that their partners have. Men,
the man has an office job, but he outside chopping trees. I mean, I think we need to kind of get into the nature of what the jobs are. Like, I'm just not going to give you a pass.
Let's say they both have office jobs, Steve. They both get office jobs. They both sit on their behind in the AC. Let's call it that.
Okay, I can go along with that. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times there are these solid men that
Him and his wife both get office jobs. Right. They both sit on their behind 40 hours equally, and then they come home.
It's an understand numbers. If you're getting together and you want to live a lifestyle that's beyond your means, whether, you know, whatever you're doing for a living, both people, then you should know that before you get into a marriage. It shouldn't be getting into a marriage and then everything is a struggle. Like, that, you should know beforehand, like, okay, This is how much money we make if we combine. This is what we can do. So, I mean, unless somebody loses a job or something like that, like if somebody loses their job or there's some hardship, that's different. But if two people are working and they get married and then they get into a hardship, I'm like, how does this happen?
Well, no, Patrick, it wasn't about the hardship. It was about if two people are both working 40 hours, again,
yep.
both office jobs, and the husband comes home and expects to not do anything and leaves the caregiving role of the kids, the housekeeping, the cleaning, all of that to his wife and doesn't share in any of that responsibility.
That's unrealistic.
That was the question.
That's part
that
of it, though. That's part of it. I didn't have children until I knew that I could everything would be taken care of, meaning that if somebody needed to come into the house and clean, they came in and cleaned. That if I needed stuff for cooking, that was known beforehand. It wasn't a situation where I got married and said, okay, now we don't know how we're going to handle the two kids that we just talked 2 years about having. Right? Like,
I see what you're saying.
Out,
okay.
Who's going to do
Patrick,
what?
He's
that's
a smart guy. Patrick, you're a smart guy.
Right, like you get a nanny. You get a nanny.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that don't think as clearly as you do. Seriously. I'm listening
right.
to you, bro. Kudos. A lot of people don't think that clear, and that's why we have so many failed relationships and marriages, because what I heard when the question was asked, I heard it's almost like white supremacy. It's like male supremacy. Our excuse is, well, I work hard, I chop wood down, but we don't chop no damn wood in 2020. We work office jobs. Most people are able
exactly.
to work from home. So let's keep it within reality. Without extenuating mm-hmm. circumstances, being married to a lumberjack, if we both work, me and my wife both are geeks. She's a computer programmer and I'm a web designer, okay? We both now work from home, but I wish we could have done this when we had our five kids, okay? It would have been even a lot better. But I came to the realization, and I admit it after years of marriage, that she couldn't do all that by herself. When she got through with her day, and I got through with my day, we had to collaborate and get stuff done together, we wouldn't have made it. Because
mm-hmm.
there was no way. Oh, did I mention we had multiple births? We were pregnant with triplets, then we had twins. So, where's that? So, during this
wow.
period, guess who getting up when the baby crying? Daddy better get up. You know what I'm saying? I didn't care.
Hey, Daddy, I got you, but we have a whole nation of blue-collar workers that are married, so everybody ain't a computer programmer.
I work blue-collar.
Good Lord.
So I'm just, I want to be
oh,
fair.
Oh, my goodness.
This is how we always
Dr.
talk.
Dr. Guy, can I chime in at the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens with debate is everybody brings up a question. If two people, the question is, if two people have equal type jobs, they both work eight-hour jobs, they come home, maybe let's say both 9 to 5, one doesn't get to sit on their tail while the other one does all the lifting, and male or female. And that's the new age where we are now. If we don't adopt that, now I'm older and I've already done it. So for younger people, which were on the call talking about getting married, as a mature adult, I got to say to y'all, that's the new expectation should be to share the load. And if we work and collaborate,
mm-hmm.
even in business, if we can't get this thinking, this is why we are struggling even with our political and racial issues, because people aren't willing to collaborate and share the load. Everybody wants to be
mm-hmm.
the boss. And until we come,
yeah.
I don't care what we're talking about. If the word collaboration and sharing the load doesn't come up, we're going to have the same problems next week, next month, next year.
Absolutely.
Nothing's
correct.
Gonna
change.
Correct.
Mr. Montgomery?
I don't think it's so much of sharing the load.
Let Ms. Montgomery had something right before when Kirk started talking. Go ahead, Ms. Montgomery.
No, I'm saying before you bring kids in the world or whatever and, you know, get married, it's just definitely just talking about expectations, especially when kids get involved in the role. Yeah, I do believe it is teamwork. It's the old expression, teamwork makes the dream work. So it's not on one parent to do all of it. People having their strengths and weaknesses in marriage. If your woman is a good cook and you're not, that's her area. If you're good with the yard or whatever, that's your area. So just having an understanding and just having communication and again, you know, it's a win-win when everybody's in the household chipping in. I don't know too many men that just say, hey, I don't want to do nothing but just work and come home and I don't want to mow my yard. I just expect my wife to do everything, you know, because, you know, again, kids is both parents' responsibility. You know, and it seemed like most of the guys on here are great fathers. So, I mean, I might be taught to preach it to the choir. But, you know, I just think that beforehand, like you said, you don't want to – I think one of the guys said earlier, a lot of times the marriages are falling apart because we don't communicate. We do get in the door. It's just like you don't want to go to college. You want to graduate from college. What's the use of going to college? You drop out of college. That would defeat the purpose. So, we, you know, you want to get married. You don't want to get divorced. And divorce comes in from lack of communication. So if you just go in and you just have a teamwork approach, and I know I'm making them sound easy. It's easier said than done. But, again, I just think, you know, communication is the key, especially with, you know, child raising. It's just communicating and understanding roles and not just delegating it to just one person.
I agree.
Thank you so much, Mr. Montgomery. Thank you.
I think what I was trying to say was a little earlier, it feeds into what the gentleman from Toronto was saying. It doesn't have to be shared. There just needs to be a plan for the work. And that goes back to being a leader. You know, your woman can trust you because you have a plan for how the things are going to happen, whether it's you all share the load or you've already anticipated getting a cook, a chef, a nanny, whatever that is what you do as a man when you lead. And that gives your relationship the strength for the woman to be submissive and to follow. So final thoughts, you know, I think, like I said, I want to piggyback off of what was said earlier. You know, you can live in your own world, but you definitely need to have a good idea of what the marketplace dictates. You need to do your research. You need to have an idea of what's available for you. Are you a woman that can attract a man to make six figures? You know, just because your girlfriends say you're cute don't mean you're cute. You know, you got to get some male friends to get some male opinions to see what you're doing right and doing wrong. Because your homegirls
don't be laughing at that.
No, your homegirls will tell you you're cute. You got a hat that don't match. But, you know, that's just your homegirl. So, you know, whether it's your homegirl from sixth grade, your sorors, your grad schoolmates, man, get you some male friends so they can help you along this journey and let you know what's realistic and what your true market value is. Because a lot of y'all overestimating what you can get. You know, like, I was watching the show the other day. You know, they got the Greenland shark is toxic, but you can eat it if you let the meat ferment for 6 months. That ain't Wagyu beef. You can still eat it, but it ain't the best thing in the world. So some of y'all around here, Greenland sharks, thinking y'all Wagyu beef. So you need to get an accurate interpretation of who you are and what you are.
Fatima, final thoughts.
Well, as we only have 3 minutes left, my final thoughts are we absolutely have to have a part two, and that I hope the men on this phone can appreciate how submissive all of the women have been, as we've said very little, even when questions were posed to us.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we've sat back and allowed you all to take the lead on talking about everything.
So I just want to say thank you to everyone that joined us on the panel today. Allison, I hope you come back on the show again. Thank you so much for coming on. Christy, always, I know you'll be back again. Thank you. Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on today. Mr. Montgomery, you know you're always welcome to come back. I got some newbies that I will be asking back. Mr. Kirk, I hope you'll be coming back. And Patrick, I don't even know who you are, but I need you to find me on Facebook at Dr. Tanisha Guy, because I'm going to need you back on the show too. With that being said, you guys, I love this topic. I don't think we had enough time. Fatima, I think you're right. Men spent most of the time talking, but what I think that means is that men have a lot to say, and women, we need to start listening. So the next time, because there will be a part two, you guys, we're going to do this show, and we're going to do it live so you can see these facial expressions, because y'all be missing some stuff. And we're going to do it for 2 hours because I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to discuss more concerns as it relates to unrealistic dating expectations. So, again, you guys, thank you. Don't forget, wear a mask. Be safe. Make sure you Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell everyone about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. And everyone, please be safe and have a blessed week. Bye-bye. Thanks, you guys.